What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we'll be talking about the good and ugly when it comes to our personal hygiene products. The skin is our largest organ. Think about that for a second. Soaps, lotions, shampoos, sunscreens, you name it, comes in contact with our skin and has to be broken down by our bodies. Our special guest has a passion for digging into the science and research about what he puts in his and his clients' bodies and only offering the cleanest, most natural products. So with that, let me introduce our special guest. Scott Dennis is the owner of Our Salon and the Webster Breathe Yoga and Juice Bar. Scott has spent much of his career traveling and educating other hair professionals on behalf of some of the biggest names in the beauty industry. He has now focused that creative energy into Our Salon, building it into one of the most successful salons in the area. The Our Salon team includes specialists for hair, nails, and face, all trained by Scott. His unique approach to consultation and his own technique of lifestyle fashion will amaze you. Scott always says, "We are here to beautify you, and we promise not to dishearten you." So with that, I'd like to welcome Scott. What's up, my man?
Not much. Thank you for having me. This is actually, it's a very new experience for me to do something like this. So I'm really grateful to be here and to share my story.
This is so 2021, right? Being on a podcast.
It really is. I'm at home. You know, this is awesome.
Virtually. I know. Life is good, man. And it's Friday. So let's dive right in, man. Today, I'm excited about today. I got my pen and paper. I'm going to take a lot of notes. I know that you're very passionate about this and you know your stuff. So briefly, tell us your story and what or who inspired you to pursue a career in the health and wellness field.
It's actually, it's a combination of my mom, mostly my mom, but also my grandmother. You know, my grandmother was a clothing designer for B. Foreman's, and you know, kind of exposed me to all this, you know, beautiful fashion and you know, and just ways of actually caring for yourself and your appearance. But it was really my mom. My mom had multiple sclerosis growing up as a kid. She was in a wheelchair, and I wasn't able to experience the same things in my childhood in the way that you know, other kids generally did. So I would always like help my mom with the strangest things. So it got to the point where my mom couldn't go to a salon anymore to get her hair done, and I started to learn how to, at like 10 or 11 years old, do my mom's hair at our house. And it started with hair, but then what it branched into was the fact that my mother's experience at that point was very medical, that the only time that anybody ever touched her was because of a, you know, a medical treatment, like checking her out. She had multiple sclerosis, so they were always poking, prodding, tapping something. And, you know, it was one day when, you know, we were waiting for, I think I permed my mom's hair in the kitchen, but we were waiting and I reached out and I grabbed her hand. And I started to pretend to give her a manicure, like looking around, trying to be fancy. And it was in that moment that I saw this shift in her physical appearance and this sense of relief and relaxation, you know, as I began to rub her hands. And it progressed from that point to the point where I was giving myself, my mother, manicures and pedicures and massaging her body and touching her in a way that was not medical, that was caring. And it started that whole process for me to get right there when I was like 11 or 12 years old to realize that personal care is more than just, you know, looking a certain way, the health and wellness of it, that, you know, now being a hairdresser, you know, owning this business, one of the biggest pieces of it for me is that instantaneously when somebody sits down in my chair, very similar to you, you know, you have permission to touch them. If they know that they've enrolled themselves in the idea of they're going to get a haircut, that I'm going to be physically touching them in some way. And so it really has been for me since that very big experience with my mom growing up is to make sure that the way that we interact with our customers, you know, from just no products or anything at this point, is just really about that high touch, high care experience, and that really there's an energy transfer in a lot of ways, you know what I mean, to wellness, you know, by simply just relaxing somebody, by just placing your hands on their shoulders. So that's where it began. It was in my kitchen as a kid when I was 12 years old, and it just has progressed ever since then. And my mother was a big encouragement to that and helped me to open my first salon when I was 17.
That's amazing. I love hearing people's origin stories, and you and I can relate to that. I mean, my mother inspired me too to get in the health and wellness field. So very cool story. So you and I can both talk. We could talk for hours here. So let's dive right in. Today's focus is going to be personal hygiene products. So why can personal hygiene products be detrimental to our health?
For me, where I realized it is in the business that I was in when I was very young, was just like simply shampooing people's hair all the time, using styling products and things. This was before I got into skin and makeup and, you know, and body. And my hands were destroyed. They were blistered and they were open. I had rashes up and down my arms, and even, got to the point where I had swelling and other allergies, essentially allergic reactions to these products. And it was at that point that I shifted to try to understand that, like, hey, I'm 17 years old, 18 years old, and I'm going to be working with these products the rest of my life, and they're going to be touching me, you know, all the time in a bigger way. And so it was through that I began to discover the different ingredients that were in products that were going to be more carcinogen, you know, was a big one. Things that were, you know, artificial fragrance was another. And then simply just like, you know, a plethora of chemicals that, you know, were just absolutely insane, all the way down to things like parabens and, you know, petroleum-based products and silicones that, you know, that were really back then when I first started doing hair, because I'm pushing 50 now. I was when I was 17. There was there wasn't as much of a concern about that sort of stuff. And there wasn't a lot of research. And so finding products that didn't have all those ingredients was actually very difficult. So there's a ton of different ways that a product could be toxic to you, you know, from the fact that we said the skin is the biggest organ of the body, and we're slathering all that stuff on us, you know, but even, you know, it progressed for me to understanding that, like, skincare, like, you know, like the stuff that we're putting around our eyes, like, you know, it pushed me into understanding that not only was, you know, the product that was touching my skin getting into my body and changing me, but then, like, even the things that we would put, like chapstick that you would put on your lips, that you you know, are digesting that. And so that's what launched it into, you know, into the research that I started doing at a young age to understand the ingredients really of the product.
Yeah, I think I look at the skin sometimes and it's like a big barrier of like a protectant of the body, which it is. But like you said, your hands were bleeding, your hands were getting calloused. I mean, it's showing signs of, like, this is a chemical reaction, this is an allergic response that you're getting. But we almost think that it's not being absorbed into our bodies, but it is, and it has to be processed. Where it's not just bouncing right off of our skin. Like, if that, sometimes we think we need to ingest it, eat it, drink it, or breathe it in. But no, I mean, our skin is absorbing a lot of things. We need to be careful with that.
And that was the other piece of it too, was the combination of different things. You know, like that was happening. Is it may not have been one particular thing, but it was when you mix two different things together, you know, and people do that all the time. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they have their favorite body lotion and their favorite body wash, or, you know, their favorite product that they may use, and they mix them all together and they put them on their body, and, you know, there's chemicals in each one of them, and nobody did the work to understand, like, what would happen when that happened. You know what I mean? Like, to be able to mix those things together and put them on your body. And so that led me to the next stage of my research, is really understanding, like, what was happening, you know, in the cocktails that I was creating of chemicals, you know, mixing them together and putting them on my skin.
That's a perfect segue. So what conditions or health problems can arise from using toxic conventional products?
So over the years, from my own, starts with my own personal experience. So I was getting headaches, migraine headaches. And I hear people talk about that a lot, that they struggle with migraines. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and the migraine headaches were coming from, for me, one of the biggest sources, that was fragrance that was being added to the products that I was using. But even going further past that, to understand it more, that in order for a fragrance to be in a product, there's about 30 or 40 other chemicals that are added to the product to just sustain the fragrance in the product. And so, you know, there was just so much that happened. So it may not have been the fragrance itself, but it could have been the other products that were needed to stabilize the fragrance. And so that led me again to the next level of understanding inflammation in my body. Because, you know, what happened next is I was always in pain, or I had aches or pains, or I was had a runny nose or coughing all the time. So, you know, some of the things that people can look for are their skin outwardly just showing, like, you know, bumps, rashes, you know, like I can't remember the name of it. It's a technical word, but these bumps that people often get on the back of their arms or on their legs or things like that are from their laundry detergent, or from, you know what I mean? Body lotions that they're using. So it doesn't have to do with even the things that you directly put on your skin. Like, so then it gets into the laundry detergent or the dish soap you're using, or even the dishwashing detergent that you put in the dishwasher. I stopped using fabric softener 100 years ago. You know what I mean? And it's such a common thing that people use, and it's just a chemical that is coating your clothing. You know,
we don't even think about it. We just dump it in.
Everybody just does it. So that's where I started to really deconstruct all of the different things, you know, and then it launched me into, you know, into the next level of things, you know, was to really still find products that were clean, because there was so many products that were faking it by finding what the trendy topic was at the time, whether it would be clear. I think you and I talked about that the other day, like making a product clear. Like, I remember that there was clear Coca-Cola, like for a while. And you know, that people perceived, you know, things to be a certain way. So there was all this gimmick that I started to see. So that was my next step, is that, you know, a product could appear to be healthy just in the way that it was packaged or marketed, but it really truly wasn't.
So how do we know if we have a toxic product? So when I look at that question, I'm gonna try to answer it first here. I'm going to compare it to like nutritional products. This is what I think when I see this question, like energy bars, right? If I go to the store and get an energy bar, I used to get the Clif bars, get the Kraft bars that are just loaded with ingredients. So now I try to get Lara bars, which only have 2 to 4 ingredients. So is it as simple as that? We should be reading the ingredients and get as few ingredients as possible, and then it's a good product, or no?
Well, when it comes to ingredients in personal care products, the FDA does have a lot of control over what happens there, which is great. That there is a governing body that is putting it out there. But things that you can look for is the fact that the first ingredient in the product is the most potent ingredient in the product.
Right,
So that's really where you're starting. So if you're starting with, like, you know, an actual floor like chamomile, you know what I mean? Like, you know, or lavender, you know, or things that, you know, would be moisturizing, you know, to you or whatever. You see those lists of ingredients start out really being really impactful that are not chemicals to begin with. I think it's one of the first things, like, you know, to really look for, you know what I mean? And not water either. You know what I mean? Like water is a part of everything.
Why is that?
Well, because really what's happening in that's that cheaper product again. You know what I mean? Like where they're putting the secondary and the third ingredients of something that you think is better, but they've watered it all down. So the effectiveness of it is really not there anymore. And you know what I mean? Like, you know, like just like anything, water dilutes. You know what I mean? Like, so if you've read that lavender is going to help your skin, or if you've read that rosemary is going to be something that's going to help you to, you know, to relax, or you know, or jojoba oil is something that is going to be a natural, that's a natural humectant to the skin. It's actually one of the closest to our natural skin's production of oil, jojoba oil, sunflower oil. Those things are really great. But then if you see water before them, then they're not effective or as effective.
Interesting. I got to tell the story. You're going to raise your eyebrows here. So we bought a crap brand for shampoo. I think we got it at Ollie's. That's my first mistake, right? You get what you pay for. It was random. We were there shopping for something else. Oh, we saw it. Grab it. Throw it in the cart. It was on clearance, so you had to get it. Tresemme. Okay. So Tresemme brand. I just looked at the ingredients and I'm like, I don't like this. Like, first of all, why does there need to be 30 ingredients in a shampoo bottle? That's ridiculous. DM hydantoin. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
That was one ingredient that stuck out to me, because I remember a patient telling me a month or two ago that there was a lawsuit going on about a girl losing hair from, she thinks, this ingredient.
DHDEA is what it's like referred to as.
Okay. There's a current lawsuit going on about that. So I dug in deeper, did my research, and Unilever and Suave products, and this brand too, I guess there was a recall on their products because of this ingredient back in 2012. They paid out over $10 million in 2016. And now January 2021, there's another lawsuit for this ingredient causing hair loss and scalp irritation. So whether it is or not, that was enough information for me to be like, this is crap. This is not good for me, potentially not good for me. So I threw it right in the garbage, and we're on the podcast now. So I got to figure out what to use on my hair.
Well, the other thing is like formaldehyde is another really big one that's used, you know, and it's disguised, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Into different words, you know, and into, you know, different ingredients. They'll even break it down into like the actual components of what make formaldehyde so that when they put it on the label, you don't see that word. And then they combine it all back together again. And it's amazing to me too, that like, when you say that, when we talk about that, like, you know, these chemicals that these companies put in there do make the hair feel nice. You know, it really comes to the science of it, not to get into it. It's like, if you take like a pH strip, you know, our hair and our skin and our nails are neutral. So it's 7, you know what I mean? On the pH scale. So you want to stay neutral, but you know, acidity going lower than 7 or even alkaline going higher than 7 has an effect on the skin and the hair, and it can do many great things for it. So, you know, bringing in even natural ingredients that will affect the pH of the skin and the hair can help. So what happens with those products that you're specifically talking about is that it takes the hair to such an alkaline level, you know, that it actually makes the hair feel softer. It makes it look shinier and has all this slip to it. I'm doing this. I'm like, I know that nobody can see me, but I'm like, playing with my hair. But the, you know, it makes it have slip to it, which people perceive as being healthy. And they perceive as being, you know, really good for you. BB creams is another thing that people, women use to blend out like their skin on their face to make it look nice. And it's just a combination of chemicals mixed together that they slap on their face, and it looks beautiful at the end of the day. It looks good, but it's really causing, you know, much more damage in the long run.
So what are the long-term effects of all this? Like what is the research showing?
Well, where the research started for me, so the biggest pieces of me that I found, like, this is just a funny tidbit of information, is that, like, you know, coming to like a lipstick. So lipstick, lip gloss, like your daughters may even have like those little tubes of lip gloss or even Dick chapstick. So the average woman consumes a stick and a half to 2 sticks of lipstick or lipstick a year, just by putting it on their lips. And, you know, by licking their lips, eating. Back in the day, if you look back in the 1920s and 30s, which I love looking at the fashion and, you know, from back then, you know, women had that big bright red pigment and they knew that it was toxic. They were told it was toxic. They knew that they had to, you would wash them. They would remove their lipstick before they ate or drank. They'd actually have these little things to do that. People don't do that anymore. You know what I mean? That would be considered kind of uncouth, like, you know, ripping your lipstick off at a dinner table at a fancy restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, and so people leave it on, and then you have the longer wearing, you know, all those different things. So, you know, what's amazing about that is that the ingredients that are often found in it are binding to the body, that they actually are carcinogens. And there's actual ingredients like heavy metals and things like that you could never even process in your body. And then the funny part, this is the part that you and the other men out there will find interesting, is that a man on an average consumes a half a stick to a stick of lipstick a year just by kissing their wives or their girlfriend. Yeah, and then it even broke down to me that, not to talk about this is like feminine, you know, but it all matters, is like things like waterproof mascara literally have tar in them, like actual tar, to create the waterproof, you know, thing. I mean, if you knew that that's really the ingredient, you probably wouldn't put it on your face. That same tar that you see in the parking lot paving it, putting it on your eyes. You know, it's amazing.
So this has to be wreaking havoc on our bodies. Is it just the endocrine system?
Well, I've seen, like, you know, so I've seen from two sides of it, with actual customers' experiences, from people who thought they had a heartburn issue. Like, they were taking Prilosec is what comes up to mind for whatever reason. I think that was what the customer was taking, that the people who had like really bad acid reflux, you know, yep. What I mean? Like for years and years and years, and they're taking pills and they're taking medications and all this other stuff to kind of do that. And they changed their lipstick to something that was more natural after hearing me, and all of it went away just from their lipstick. And whereas, where I've seen other pieces of it is people who think they have arthritis, you know what I mean? Or even other types of food allergies. Like, so some people who have like a celiac kind of circumstance, you know what I mean? Like, you know, where their body's immune system is attacking, and they've been even diagnosed with things like celiac disease and then found that it really wasn't the trigger. The trigger was, you know, the shaving cream they're using. And you know, that's the other thing, back into the hygiene of men and women, you know, when you're using something like shaving cream, like if there's some products that I think are even more of a concern, it's like you're putting that on your skin and then you're essentially cutting yourself. You're opening yourself up to even more exposure to it. So, you know, and those particular things have tons of ingredients to help make it slip or slide or make your skin feel conditioned that are absolutely toxic.
So is it safe to say these environmental toxins that we're putting on and in our bodies is causing autoimmunity?
Yes.
It can. Okay.
I believe that it is, you know what I mean? I believe that it absolutely is. It's like, and people will take a pill or, you know what I mean? They'll read all these other things rather than to just simply shift what it is that they're doing at home. And I think it matters completely from head to toe.
So thyroid, right? Thyroid's a big issue nowadays. Hypothyroid, underactive thyroid, weight gain. People just can't lose the weight. So you think this might be a piece of the puzzle for a lot of those people?
Absolutely, I do. I think it's
just, I agree,
putting that much thought into it. Like we were talking, you know, you and I were talking about fragrance at one point in time. Like just like, you know, the things that it's just surrounded by. And that's the other piece of it too, is like then there's like fragrance. So coming, like I'm going to speak to hair color. This is an interesting one. So, you know, hair color has those ingredients we were talking about before, a lot of just toxic ingredients. There's metallic salts that have been used in hair color for generations. And then, you know, where women are sitting, or people, anybody that's coloring their hair really, are sitting every 3 or 4 weeks, you know, with this stuff on their head for 45 minutes. Like they're breathing in that formaldehyde in their bathroom, like, you know what I mean, in a small room, or whether they're getting it done professionally. There's all these different, you know, components there. But one of the biggest things that I found was in a hair color, is that they had olfactory numbers in them. So in order to make the experience better for the customer and maybe even for the technician doing it, they put these chemicals in there that within 3 to 4 inches of you coming to it, it would numb your olfactory senses. So numb your ability to smell so that you wouldn't notice the ammonia and the other heavy duty things that are in there. And then that olfactory number comes with its own fragrance, which is the only thing you smell. So then you think that it smells great and it doesn't have any chemicals in it. So another big disguise, you know what I mean? Like just to give you an example, the hair color that we use has absolutely no fragrance in it whatsoever. And you smell the natural ingredients, which would be ammonia. It's part of the hair color process and it's a natural ingredient. Mm. And rather than to like olfactory numb your senses, like, you know what I mean? And literally kill off your ability to smell and taste while you're getting your hair color done. And so it was an amazing thing that I, like, you know, as I continued my path, you know, to find all these different, you know, to find all these different things.
Yeah, smelling good really shouldn't have a scent. It should be odorless.
Yeah. And but then for me too, like, you know, I mentioned this to you the other day when I was talking, is like I do love scent. Like, but I love natural scent, meaning I like the smell of a flower, you know, I like the smell of a rose, or, you know, or the smell of a, you know, lavender. And that's a funny one too, is that, you know, this is another one I discovered. This comes to me, is that, you know, a coconut has no smell. None. Huh. A coconut, go crack open a coconut, you know what I mean? Like open it up, a raw coconut, and smell it. It doesn't have a smell. We associate the smell that we smell of coconut with the taste of coconut. And so all coconut fragrance that you would ever smell in anything is 100% artificial.
It's sweeter. Yep. It's the sugar.
Yeah. And so the smell makes you feel like you're tasting a coconut. Mm-hmm. The taste of the coconut is what you would say. So the truth is, anything that you have, a coconut, that's a big scent in shampoos and conditioners and body products. Like people are like, oh, I love my coconut conditioner. It's like, it's fake. There's coconut has no scent.
Marketing. It's all about the Benjamins marketing.
It is.
So where should we start when trying to clean up our hygiene products?
For me, it always starts with the obvious. You know, it starts with the things that we put on our body. You know, like shampoos and conditioners are things that we put on and take off. You know, you wash your hair, you rinse it out. You put the conditioner on your hair, you rinse it out. So it always starts with me is the things that we're going to leave on our bodies, the things that we're going to put into that regimen every single day. I mean, all the way down to your toothpaste. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like the things that you're in your, again, your toothpaste, you're scrubbing out your mouth, you're inherently swallowing some of that. And I think we've kind of all, like, that's the thing that's happened in this day and age is that people are more aware of the concerns that they may have. And, but then it's like the trick of marketing. You know, is it really better for you? What is the latest trend that's out there? So I think in a lot of ways, it's just finding a brand or a business or a person that you trust. And that's not TikTok. Yesterday, I actually heard somebody talking about the fact that they were washing their hair in rice water. Like, I, you know, like, and it's just like, you know, and yeah, I could give them, you know, because they want to make their hair feel better. They want it, and they read, and they got it off of TikTok. And yet, like, you know, here I am, a professional that has like a plethora, again, of information and a knowledge base to be able to give you an actual recommendation, but they, you know, they'd rather believe TikTok.
So you've got over 30 years experience. You started at 17, you said.
I did.
You know your stuff, man. That's great. Okay. So what, so toothpaste going off of that here on a tangent, fluoride or non-fluoride, what's your take on that?
You know, it's interesting because I ask these questions to my dentist. I'm such a pain in the ass. Like, you know, they're, you know, when
I think it's a great question.
And, yeah. you know, really where they are with it is that they said, no fluoride, you know, is that, you know, when we there's fluoride in our water. Now that's the other big trick. You know what I mean? It's this like, you know, our water is fluoride in it. And, you know, so we're drinking that every single day. I mean, I personally don't drink my tap water.
I don't either. No.
What do you do?
Reverse osmosis? You got a tank or something? Or do you do a bottle of water?
I have, it's sort of like a Brita thing that I found in research that, you know, at least in the consumer reports and the information that they could prove out there that it is removing the majority of the heavy metals and things like fluoride from the water, you know, and stuff like that. And like, I think that there's a need maybe when kids are young, you know what I mean? Like, to have that kind of fluoride, you know, coming in, or even if you get a fluoride rinse, that was what my dentist said, is that just to do it when you need it, if you have a sensitivity. There's a lot of benefits to it, but, you know, the fact that we've determined as a whole, or our governing bodies have determined as a whole, that there's a percentage of that that's been added to all of our water that we drink is a little bit much, I think.
Yeah. With the toothpaste, we just don't need it. It's just overkill. Okay. So what are a few tips to simplify the process of transitioning to cleaner, more holistic products?
For me, it's really doing a little bit of the research or finding, like, kind of the same answer. It's finding some business. Like, you know what I mean? So a business, it could be anything from like Lori's Natural Food to, you know, my salon, you know, a business that, you know, that you trust, you know what I mean? That's out there. Because I think the biggest component for me, so this is actually an interesting answer to that question, is that I'm really into my appearance. I'm really into my skin. I'm really into my products performing. And so there are a lot of natural products that are out there that may not perform. You know what I mean? They may not be bad for you, but they don't actually do what you need them to do. And I think that's why people often revert back to maybe a less natural product, because they're like, I tried a more natural makeup and it didn't cover, or it was dry, or I tried a more natural toothpaste and, you know, I didn't like the taste, or I tried, you know, a more natural body lotion and I didn't like the smell. Like, so there really is, like, you know, the foolery that's still out there in the marketing. So I believe it's like, you know, doing some of the research or finding somebody who's already done the research for you, and not get falling into the trends that are out there. You know, like, so for me, you know, it's pretty obvious. I had a list here, you know what I mean? That, you know, what you, cause you had asked me this question beforehand and, you know, I was looking at it. Let's see. It's like, like in shampoos and conditioners and body products, it's ammonium lauryl sulfate. You know, sulfates have been known as a carcinogen. They're really harsh. They damage the hair. They damage the skin. They have a high level of allergy. You know what I mean?
Sulfates or sulfites?
Sulfates. Ammonium lauryl sulfate. It's, you know what I mean? And then you have sodium lauryl sulfate. You have parabens. You have sodium chloride. You have glycols. And then the DEA that you were talking about, you know, formaldehyde, you know, and then knowing what those ingredients look like. There's a really great company called the Environmental Working Group. Have you ever looked at that EWG?
I have not.
So the EWG website is great because they do it from food to beauty products to skincare and sun care products, where they rate them. And they rate them based on their ingredients, you know, and they rate them based on those ingredients being combined together for safety. And you can really, you know, put it to a test. There's an app that you can download. And then you literally can scan the product right at the grocery store or wherever you are and do the research. But I always tell people when it comes to stuff like that too, is like, because even some of the products that I carry, that I sell, are not necessarily rated as high on that particular thing. So you have to take the information and understand what you're looking at too, not to just like take from the scale, like, you know, of like when it says that maybe it's giving you the red instead of the green. That still in that particular circumstance, it's not saying that it's terrible to use. It's just that you've got to dial into what ingredient is in there that they may have some concern or issues with, you know, and then you have to determine whether that ingredient or how frequent you're using it is going to be a problem for you. So like it really is a very subjective, but Environmental Working Group, EWG, it's awesome. They have an app and they even do like the Dirty Dozen and the top 13 as far as like foods, you know, that have pesticides and chemicals in them.
That's where I heard of them from. Yeah. Dirty Dozen, the Clean 15.
The Dirty Dozen and the Clean, that's what it is, the Clean 15. Mm-hmm. So they really do that. But synthetic fragrances, dimethicone, like, you know, that you talked about, like these are all like really crazy things. And then, you know, and it's just really, it's so interesting to me. We were talking about this with food the other day. Like I learned this through, you know, the research that I did. It's like, I heard about like carmides, you know, which is a crushed up beetle. And carmide is a beetle. And they use those carmides in lipsticks and blushes and things like that. It's a red beetle and it's kind of shimmery. But I, you know, but even like understanding some of those weird things that I told you, I found that in my yogurt, as an ingredient. And I was literally blown away that, you know what I mean? That was in there. And, you know, when I called that company, I mentioned this the other day too, that, you know, the company knew that it was in there, and their answer to that was, it's natural. It's not that it wasn't a chemical ingredient to make the color of that yogurt pink. And so it's what people were looking for, but yet the consumer is really the one that is like looking for that strawberry yogurt to be pink, where it's actually like, after that, I actually started making my own yogurt, and strawberry yogurt is actually not pink. So anyway, I think it's true too, is like just knowing what you're looking for as a consumer, and that, you know what, sure, I mean, your final desire, you know what I mean, it may not be the reality of what is there, that, you know, that sometimes we make people like, you know, if you go buy a non-organic piece of chicken at the grocery store, like a chicken breast that is like the size of a football, you know, there's nothing natural about that. And right. So we have to decide, you know, what it is that we're willing to accept as a consumer.
Yeah. Find somebody, find a business, find a brand that you trust and are loyal to, and they're going to do the research for you and provide good, exceptional products all the time.
And I guess like, this gives me just a little bit of a segue to talk. So what happened for me in this whole thing is Aveda. You know, I think, you know, so we are an Aveda lifestyle store. But one of the biggest things, and that's what I pulled up here in front of me, and this is a really great, interesting piece of information.
No, Aveda is a brand, right? Aveda is the brand that you carry.
Aveda is a brand. And they've been around, you know, for since like 1974 or something like that, I think. And they were really a pioneer at the time of creating, you know, products that were more natural, and really have, everywhere I searched as in the profession that I'm in, the hair profession, starting and then skin and makeup, like, they, you know, it drove me to this company over and over and over again, you know, simply because of the research that they do and the things that they've done to, you know, create safer products. And the two things that set it apart, so not the actual products themselves, like all the stuff we're talking about, research, and that's what I have actually up in front of me right now, because I really wanted to share this, is it's called the CERES. So it's the CERES Principles, which is the Coalition for Environmental Responsible Economies. They are the only beauty company in the world since 1989 that actually signed that coalition. And as a result of that, you can go to Aveda's website, and they actually give an annual report of the products that they use. They actually show you all that stuff that when you go in there, you have to kind of dial into it. It's not the first thing you see on their website, but they actually give you these annual reports of how their products impact the environment, how their ingredients, you know, really offer all that stuff. But then they also, they actually also put in there their ingredient sourcing and their ingredient glossary. So those two things are really huge too. So you can actually pinpoint any ingredient, even the ones that are on their labels that say something like, you know, something that looks like a chemical. that this doesn't sound natural, and you can actually go to that ingredient glossary and they'll break that ingredient down for you into its natural sources, into what it is in there, and they'll even tell you why it's in the product. So that's what I mean by finding some place that you trust, you know what I mean, like, you know, finding some information. And Aveda is not the only company that does stuff like that, but they are still one of the few, you know what I mean, that really is transparent in the way that they operate.
And it's what you carry and it's what you believe in, and you've been repping that brand for years.
I have, but you know, there are many others. There are so many others that I've worked with, that I currently still even use, like, you know what I mean, that are amazing brands. So it isn't, you know, the end all to be all to be that, but right. It is something that is in support of all those things that I just said. So they provide me the ability to wardrobe my customers. And that's how I see it. Is like, it's the wardrobing of, from, you know, the skincare that you're using, to the shaving cream that you're using, to the shampoo and the conditioner, to the hairspray that you're using, to the body lotion that you're using, all coming together. And that report that I'm talking about that they have is something that tests all of their products individually and then also combined together. We were talking about that in the very beginning, about like, you could have this product that's safe and this product that's safe and this product that's safe, but then you combine all three of those products together in a cocktail that you're using on your body and something completely different happens. So this concept is that they've tested everything that they have in every combination that it could be. So it's always safe.
I know I touched on this earlier, but how many ingredients should we be looking for in a shampoo bottle, in our bar of soap? Is it as simple as that, a number?
No, because, you know, depending on the breakdown of, like, you know, in the world that I live in, we, you know, Aveda's manufacturing of a lot of their shampoos and conditioners is a tea. So they take all these ingredients, you know what I mean, that they would want in there for whatever particular reason. And there's actually an old documentary somewhere that you can actually find where you actually watch them make these huge, that look like tea bags that they steep into their product. And that was when it was done in a warm process. Now they do it in a cold process. So the same thing, there could be 50 to 60 ingredients in a shampoo or conditioner that has naturally infused with the, you know, plant essences and things that are going to, you know, mimic what the chemicals that were in there. And in some ways, a chemical laden product might have less ingredients than a product that's trying to really incorporate like an actual formula of science and plants to, you know, create an effectful, you know, actual functioning product.
So moral of the story, find a good brand, stick with them. So let's talk. I know your brain's always going, man. You're learning constantly. So what are you currently researching and experimenting with when it comes to helping clients with hygiene products?
The two biggest things that I am is hair loss, you know, you know, from men, you know, to women, you know what I mean? That there's so many things that contribute to the hair thinning, you know what I mean? Like, I think men tend to be really quiet about it if it bothers them, but women are even more. More concerned and more quiet about it. And, you know, all the different information that's out there. And, you know, again, coming back down to your diet, to your stress level, to, you know, then to the products that you're using, and then all the gimmicks that are potentially out there for, you know, women who are, you know, experiencing this kind of terrible thing with their hair thinning, you know what I mean, or falling out or getting thinner. So that's like, that's the big thing. And then the other thing is always aging. Like it's skin. It's, you know, where people, you know, really want to shine and look their best, you know what I mean? Like it's in their face, and even more right now than ever with masks on, that, you know, people's eyes are really like the windows to the soul, and, you know, people want to be able to express themselves. So like those are the areas that I've been researching. We actually have a bunch of new services that I hope to be bringing into our business throughout the next few months as a result of that.
Such as?
Well, you know, when it comes to the skin, you know, the traditional facial of pampering yourself and, you know, coming in and getting all that relaxing sort of stuff, I'm sure you've had many of them, right? Isn't really, it's a beautiful thing, but you can do it at home. And that's the truth. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I can teach you how to do all those things at home and, you know, and give you the steps and do all that stuff. So, you know, that's kind of a thing of the past for me. You know, what I want to be able to give to my customers is an effective treatment that's fast, safe, and is going to like give them something that they're going to see a result from immediately. And then even long-term, the more that they get it done, that it repetitively, it would be better. So, you know, we haven't really ever brought in, you know, other types of services outside of the traditional facial services at the salon. So some of the things that we're looking into are hydrofacials, which is a way of exfoliating the skin with just simply pressured water. To help to cleanse out the pores, to, you know, refresh the skin and even build new collagen. The techniques like microdermabrasion or, just like other types of resurfacing of the skin using, you know, natural methods like that are not, you know, there's no chemicals, there's nothing being put onto the skin to create that level of exfoliation. So it would leave somebody with the result of like what in the industry is called like a chemical peel, without having to actually go and have. That's the actual word. I mean, that's the actual word that is used to describe what people go and do is a chemical peel, not a natural peel, not an experience. It's like, I'm going to go have chemicals put on my skin to eat away at the surface layer of my skin to expose fresh new skin and make me look younger. It's just that there's so many better ways to do that. So that's where I'm at with that. And, the hair loss thing is just always a big deal for me. Like, you know, that one is always work that I'm up to.
So how can listeners get more information on your businesses, connect with you online, and or make an appointment?
Well, I mean, the name of my business, I think we hope you maybe put it out there, is this Our Salon. You know, it's oursalon.com. And everything that I just said today is actually linked in our website. So there's a blog about my mom and me and the whole story. There's actually why Aveda is part of my website. You know, to actually tell you my story about why we carry those products and how it works, and even all the links to all of the information I just said about the ingredients, the sourcing, the awards. But then as well, there's stories about my team and my staff. And actually, there's a really cute one coming out in the next week about our massage therapist, Noah. We did a little video with him yesterday. So cool. There'll be a blog going out about his approach to helping people to really just cope with stress and relax, especially, you know, during these trying times.
And he's great. I had a massage by him over a year ago, and it was awesome. He does a good job. Okay, a couple of random questions here. I got some notes here. Dryer sheets. Do you recommend them? If so, what brand? What do you do for dryer sheets?
That's a funny one. No, I actually have the alpaca balls.
Okay. I've seen those. Yes, I've seen those. We used to have those.
Let me clarify that the alpaca hair ball. Anyways, they're these dryer balls.
Yeah, what's going on here? What's going on out in Williamson?
The dryer balls are great. I switched to them a couple years ago. Okay. You know, it's interesting. So my partner, Jeff, he works for Rochester Gas and Electric, and he has to wear fire retardant clothing for the electrical work that he does. And I didn't even know this, you know, that he can't have a dryer sheet or even fabric softener added to any laundry that he would be wearing that's supposed to be like the fire retardant, because the chemicals that are actually in them make the clothes not fire retardant. Like they actually can catch fire. You know what I mean? So the idea is like, well, that would be the case for anybody then. So here you have your kids like walking around with these clothes, and they might get too near a candle or something like that. And they're clothes that, you know, might be more flammable than they would have been without it. So yeah, the alpaca balls are great. And then I use essential oils on them if people want fragrance. You know what I mean? Like I just put a couple drops on them and put them in there. We don't sell them at the store. Maybe we should. But they're easy to come by these days. I think they're pretty much everywhere.
I knew you had some hacks for that, for dryer sheets. I knew you weren't using conventional dryer sheets.
I am definitely not.
What about coloring your hair? Should it only be done once a year, twice a year? How does that work
with the toxins? I mean, obviously I have completely silver hair and everything that, you know, okay. That I have, like I have to color my hair every 2 weeks, maybe three at the most.
But using better products though. You're using cleaner products.
Get out of that. I think it comes down to a couple of different things. A professional, no matter what. So let's take the ingredients out of it, the product name out of it, like all those other things out of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like even a professional with a product that has chemicals in it that isn't necessarily more natural is the professional that's going to do what they need to do They're going to expose you to it the least amount. You're going to be in an area. They're going to care for you. And that's our job as hairdressers. So like, I'm not going to say that one particular is better than the other. You know what I mean? Obviously, I have my reasons. Like I said, fragrance was a big one of them for hair color and other types of ingredients that are bad for you. You know, the color line that we use is vegan, number one. And, you know, like 98% even to 100% naturally derived. Like there's like very little, if there is any, depending on the formula that you use. But professional. Then, you know, because like there's all these like people that are ordering all this stuff, especially after last year, you know, ordering all these products online to ship to their house, to do at home. So the thing that I say about that is that you're taking it into your own hands. Like may the odds forever be in your favor. And you're generally doing that in a closed space that has not the same kind of ventilation. And that's kind of the big deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not always just the ingredients that are in the product. It's also like what the exposure is that you have to, you know, breathing that during the time that you're coloring it yourself. But people got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. This was great, man. I learned a ton today. I took a ton of notes. I think the big takeaway for me was, and especially being a chiropractor working with pain patients, is if you guys are dealing with autoimmune stuff or just quirky symptoms like migraines, like you said, or pain in general, look at what you're putting in and on your body. I mean, that could definitely be the culprit. That could be the root cause. And if you make some subtle changes and you find a brand that you believe in and that does the work for you, it could be a game changer for your health.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for sharing all that, man. That was great. So final question here. We already talked about this before we started the podcast, but I'm wondering if your answer is going to change at all. If you have a friend coming to Rochester who has never been here, where would you take them?
To breathe. It's really funny because to breathe yoga. And, you know, I know you mentioned that I'm a franchise owner of Breathe Yoga in the beginning of it, but, you know, Breathe Yoga is my my guilty pleasure. They could really get, like, it could be chocolate, it could be wine, it could be, it's my guilty pleasure. I've owned the salon since I was 17 years old. I have been in that business for years. I chose to buy this franchise and to run this, which is just down the road from my salon in there, because I absolutely love everything about it. So it's a health food store, you know, yoga studio. We sell wonderful, like, organic skincare and body care products. Like, we carry a skincare line there called Arcana, which is absolutely amazing. And so, like, it literally is just my home away from home. And I teach yoga there, so you can actually come and see me. I don't do hair anymore. I'm really just behind the scenes there at the salon, just driving the business and, you know, creating the culture and coaching the team on my philosophy and researching the products and the services we do. But at Breathe, I'm just there every day drinking the smoothies, teaching the yoga, and having a good time. So that would be where I would take somebody.
Hey, man, that's a fabulous answer, because Breathe is a one-stop shop. And I feel like it's turned into a landmark. I mean, there's so many of them now. I don't know how many locations, at least five.
Like Wegmans of Rochester. Yeah, that would be another thing. That people that have never seen Wegmans, people take them in there.
Yeah.
All the time, you take it for granted. Breathe is like this breath of California air. It's really unlike anything else that's here. And again, the philosophy of it, the reason I'm part of it, is that it's all the same thing, you know, from the ingredients in all of our food to the smoothies to the, you know, the day-to-day stuff that we do in there. So it's really a balance for me between the outward appearance, like that we work on at the salon and the spa, the way that people look and feel, and then the inward, you know, appearance, like bringing the nutrition and the yoga, you know, to the equation for me. So, you know, I love that.
Well, Scott, hey, man, you're an awesome dude. You're elevating our community, and I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing for your clients at Breathe, for yoga, for providing a safe haven to get healthy and a space to get healthy with good nutrition and good movement. So thank you, my man. Appreciate your time and your knowledge today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It was awesome. Well, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you gained a lot of value from what Scott shared with us today, and we'll share this with family and friends. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can join me next time with a new local guest in the health and wellness space. I hope you're having an amazing day, and I'll talk with you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me. Go to my website, driscollchiropracticny.com. Read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me info@driscollchiropracticny.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram @dr.driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.